Welcome home, and don't make yourself at home, just be at home. You know, put your feet up on the coffee table, go to the refrigerator if you need something to drink, you know, just be at home. Don't make yourself at home. It's good to see you this morning. Last week I started a series, I began with and I called it the Overcomer Series, and I'm going to continue preaching that. It's just going to be messages about overcoming. Overcoming. All of us have things in our life, situations that we're overcoming. Life in itself is a challenge to us most times, more times than not, and we're trying to overcome. And so I just feel a strong urgency about me to share for the next few weeks words and messages about overcoming. Now, last week I introduced this Overcomer series with a message about God's unique ability to forget our sins. Those of you that were here probably remember that I had you write the thing that you struggle with forgiveness for. I had you write it on a piece of paper, and we collected those slips of paper. And we brought all those slips of paper up here, and we didn't review them, we didn't read them, and we poured them all. We poured all of those things that you struggle with, we poured them into a big old bowl full of water, and then we stirred it just a little bit. You know, because the enemy likes to stir things up. He likes to stir things up from our past. And right before your eyes, every one of those things, every one of those struggles that you had written down on that piece of paper, they dissolved. There was nothing there. And that's the way God works in our lives. That's the way he works. And I pull from Micah chapter 7 about that God takes our sins and he forgets about them. And we from there we draw out that terminology. He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. But they're never remembered against us anymore. Never. Even if we turn our backs on God, even if we go reprobate, those sins that God has forgiven us will never be brought back to His recollection. He's forgotten about them. But we struggle. We struggle because sometimes other people remind us of our sins. Sometimes the enemy reminds us of our sins. Oftentimes, he's the accuser of the brethren. And then, of course, we struggle with forgiving ourselves. There is only one and one way to overcome sin. There's only one and one way to achieve forgiveness. And that can only occur through Christ Jesus and His magnificence and His love, His mercy, and His grace. His love, His mercy, and His grace is a sin-vanquishing grace. It makes sin disappear. And the only sufficient grace that we need to abolish all sin is only going to be obtained through faith. Now, when we think about faith, we've probably, many of you heard, you know, the Hebrew definition, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But before we read from the book of Hebrews, we'll first go to the book of 1 John. The first little John. First little John. 1 John chapter 5. And as we read the first five verses there, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of Him. There's tons of preaching right there just in that one verse. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and follow His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I want to read that fourth and fifth verse again. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now let's go to the book of Hebrews. I mentioned a few moments ago. Faith chapter of the Bible. You want to grow in your faith? Read this chapter. Read this 11th chapter of Hebrews. If you need to grow in your faith, read it daily. Read it weekly. Whatever. Read this to grow in your faith. Taking from the New King James wording. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition that we use most time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is not tangible. You can't touch it. You can't grasp it. You can't feel it, okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Underline that in your Bible if you haven't already. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Lord, we ask that you add the blessing to the reading of your word. I want to preach to you this morning with the thought in mind, the five letters of faith. Faith can be a complicated idea for us at times. Okay? We read from the Hebrews 11 and 1 there that the definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for and it is the evidence of things not seen. That goes beyond our intellect for the larger part. No matter how smart we are in this room today. You see, our reasoning, our ability to reason has an expectation of the tangible. We have, all of us, most of us, some of us suffer maybe some impairments, but most of us know our five senses and most of us still have our five senses intact. Touching, tasting, seeing, smelling, and hearing. Most of us can do that. And it's through that tangible ability that we come to conclusions and we make decisions and we reason, in fact. Now, it's been said, I've never experienced, but I do know folks that have had situations occur in their life and from the realm of music. Some of your most renowned piano tuners are actually people that are blind. And the reason that pianos are tuned by impulses in its old form, and you know, some people probably use electronic mechanisms now, but a piano tuner used to use a tuning fork and to gain proper pitch, and then as they hit the keys on the piano, the ear could hear the number of pulses that each note provided. Most of us cannot hear that. But blind people, their hearing became so increased that they made exceptional piano tuners. In fact, there were schools for people that had gone blind to go and learn the trade of piano tuning. But we reason, and even when we lose one of our senses, or maybe more than our senses, there's compensation to be had. But in all of that, what happens is our ability to reason is what causes us to believe in so many, many ways, in most often ways. No one has ever seen faith. I cannot show you faith. I cannot show you faith. I can't show you the wind outside, but I can show you the effects of the wind as I look out the back door and I see the flags waving on the flagpoles and The leaves over there on the next ridge on the trees are blowing around. I can't see the wind, but I can see the effects of the wind. I can't see faith. I can't show you faith, but I can witness, and so can you, the effects of having faith. Now, no one has ever seen faith, but every single one of us have witnessed the effects of faith, and that most often has come through answered prayers. Now, you might say in this room this morning that God's never answered any of my prayers, but I quite honestly, I can't believe that. I'm not saying that you would be a liar. I'm not saying that you would fib about it. I'm just saying sometimes God answers our prayers in maybe it's not the answer we wanted, but yet He answered those prayers. Okay? But I'm a firm believer that God hears and answers prayers. Now, as we think about faith, every single one of you in this room, every single one of us in this room and beyond, every single person, you have faith. You say, no, I really just don't have no faith, preacher. Yes, you do. You have faith. How do you know I have faith? The reason I know that you have faith is because the Word of God establishes that we have faith. Romans 12:3, I'm not going to bring that up, but Romans 12:3, if you go and read Romans 12:3, you will find there that it has been given to every person, every person. That means you. It has been given to every person, has been given a measure of faith. You have the ability to believe. You have the ability to believe with beyond your ability to reason. Are you with me? You have the ability to believe beyond those things that you can touch, taste, smell, or hear. Every single one of us has that because God says we have it. You see, God tells us that we must have faith in order to please Him. Scripture declares that. We must have faith to please God. God is not going to require anything of us that He doesn't give us in advance. God's not going to require you to preach a sermon without giving you an anointing to preach the sermon. God's not going to call you to sing a song or to play an instrument without giving you the ear to hear. God's not going to give you the ability to go on the missions field. I'm a firm believer that missionary are specifically called. He's going to equip. He designs people to go on the missions field. God doesn't ask anything of any of us without first equipping us. And every single one of us has faith. And we have faith because God has distributed to us a measure of faith. So don't tell me, Pastor, I don't have any faith, because that is contrary to the Word of God. You couldn't be saved without faith. Okay? So I'm going to use an acrostic this morning, if you would, to spell out these five letters of faith. And these five letters of faith, last week you were encouraged to know that, hopefully you were encouraged to know that your sins are dissolved. They're abolished in that sea of forgetfulness, as we refer to it. But today, that relationship with God continues on, and we overcome our discouragement. We are encouraged through faith. And faith, though we don't understand it, and faith does not follow reason of our human anatomy, faith is what carries us through as followers of Jesus Christ. And without faith, you're not following Him. It's impossible. But every one of you has faith. But faith needs to be put into action, so to speak. The first, the F of faith, I'm using to illustrate this, is faith brings us freedom. John 8:36, the word of the Lord declares, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
There is freedom found in Jesus Christ. You see, we're often bound by false guilt. We're often bound by false guilt. And we illustrated last week how that Jesus destroys that false guilt. Jesus does not recall that guilt. So the guilt becomes false to us. Sure, we may have been guilty of what we're thinking on, what we're pondering on, but it is absent from the mind of God. So therefore, it has become false guilt. But that false guilt keeps plaguing our life. And as long as it keeps plaguing our life, we're not truly free. But when Jesus comes in and we've been able to release our faith in Jesus and say, Jesus, yes, I have faith that you've forgiven me of that sin and that sin is forgotten, we begin to operate in freedom. In the book of Romans chapter 3, go down about verse 24 and you find there that Paul taught redemption through Jesus Christ. Redemption means that you have been released from a security or a payment. Redemption means you are no longer responsible. Now, in the old songbooks, in those old red songbooks, one of my favorite old hymns is, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. That's as good as any worship song you'll find now, I want to tell you that. You see, because redemption means that I have been released from all of the debt that I had made. Redemption means that I've been set free and everything has been secured, the payment has been secured by another party. That party happens to be Jesus Christ. Redemption means that I have been set free. Redemption means that you have been set free. Redemption comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, also reading in verse 1 and 2, Paul wrote, Jesus, the law of spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. He set me free. He set me free. Glory to God, He set me free. You see, we must realize through faith there is freedom. The second thing that takes place in our faith is action must take place. We continue to think on Paul's letter to Rome, and Paul goes on in chapter 10, in verse number 7, Paul wrote this. He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. If you say, but Pastor, okay, I believe what you said. I believe I have faith, but my faith is not very strong. Let me tell you something. Dig into the Word of God. The Word of God will cause your faith to grow. Faith is an action event. Faith is something that is put into action in our life. All over in Scripture, you'll find that James, in his epistle, in chapter 1, he writes us not only to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the Word. In other words, James is saying, put your faith into action. In chapter 2, in verse 20, James says, your faith without works alone is dead. That doesn't mean that you're not saved. That has nothing to do with it. But what James is saying is when we have faith in God, when we have established our faith in Jesus Christ, and we believe that He has set us free, then we are set free actually to be enslaved. We're set free from the in bondages of sin, but we are become enslaved to Jesus Christ. I want to be about Him. I want to be doing His business. I want to be doing His will. I want to be serving in kingdom purpose. Remember that little prayer that Jesus gave us in Scripture, and many of us, the older ones actually, we used to recite it in the mornings in our classrooms in school. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Hey, really, do you want the kingdom to come? Do you want the kingdom to come into your life? We all should desire that. We should all desire our faith to be put into action. We will not experience the fullness of being an overcoming believer until we begin to put faith in action in our lives. I'm a firm believer in that. A number of years ago, there was a movement that came out, and it didn't last long. It sort of died off, and you know, go figure why it died off. And it was called silent witness. It was talking about you can be a Christian and nobody even has to know that you're a Christian. Okay? The reality of it is, the Bible says they'll know that we are Christians by our love. There is no way, I don't think there's any way possible that we can be a Christian, we can be a believer in Jesus Christ and there not be some kind of witness put into action. You may not be an outspoken person, you might not be an outgoing person, but some way, somehow, in your life and in my life, faith comes into action. And when our faith comes into action, our action is achieved by hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God will move us into action. How can we put our faith into action? We go back to Paul one more time for instruction. And Paul wrote, "He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom we believe, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not." Faith begins to believe. Listen, and I'm not saying you make up a lie. I'm not talking about the easy believism. I'm not talking about any of those movements that have went through the process of time. I'm not talking about that at all. But faith says you begin to call the things that are not as though they were. With faith, we begin to call and believe God for what we can't touch, what we can't see, what we can't hear, what we can't taste. We begin to call on God and believing He is not limited to our physical capacity. That's how we overcome. That's how our faith overcomes. I've never seen Jesus. I'll be honest with you. I have my doubts that He looks like some of these portraits that you have hanging in your house. He probably doesn't. He could, but he may not. Okay? And it's not all that important that I know what Jesus looks like, okay? It's not all that important that you know what Jesus looks like. I believe it's more than his physical appearance that will allow us to know that when we do stand in his presence. But the reality of it is, I've not been one of these people that's been to heaven seven times and come back and know what this is in heaven and that's in heaven. And I'm not one of that at all. But I tell you what I do know. I do know I have faith. I do know I have faith in the Word of God. I do know I have faith in what Jesus said. And I do know that by faith that I am saved. By faith He has redeemed me. By faith I shall inherit the kingdom of God. By faith I am an overcomer. And by faith He has set me free. And by faith I put His works into action through my life by faith. That's how I overcome. And by faith, one great way to express the kingdom of God is right here. That's what I'm doing this morning for you. What I'm doing this morning for you, I'm expressing a word of faith to you to encourage you. I hope it does. But it's not only me. It's not only me, because you have the ability to speak faith. You have ability to speak in action. You have ability to speak. We get to choose what we want to speak. Proverbs 18 and 21, I think it is, Solomon says life and death both are in the power of the tongue. And we can be, is there anybody named Joe in the room? Joey. Okay, I was going to say negative Joe. I don't want to use negative Joe. Yeah. He says, all right. You can be negative Joe if you want to. You can be negative Joe if you want to, or you can be positive Polly. Okay? And we can choose what we speak. And we can speak in faith. We can speak in the hope of Jesus Christ even when we don't see it, even when we don't touch it, even when we don't hear it, even when we don't taste it, even when we're not feeling it. We can still speak in faith in Jesus Christ. Put our faith into action to be overcomers. The third thing that we see in faith is insight. Insight is, faith brings us wisdom. Insight is synonymous with wisdom. Wisdom is procured through experience. Let me tell you all something. Those of you younger in the room, those of you that are under 50, okay? If you'd asked me that 10 years ago, I'd said under 40. Those of you that are under 50. I used to look at the older people and I used to say, on my workplace, in the church, wherever I was at, and I remember one guy in the workplace when I worked in my public job that I worked at for many, many years. I said, why doesn't Rush just go ahead and retire? He's 65 years old. He is too old. He's past his prime. It looks like he would just retire. Let me tell you something. As I grew older, I learned the value of mentorship. And I learned the value of older people don't know everything. And I understand old people might not know all the latest gadgets and cell phones and stuff like that. But let me tell you something. There is something to be gained through experience. Now, I'm actually only 40 years old, right? Y'all, not young. I'm late model high mileage. No, I'm older than that. You all know that. But wisdom is procured through experience. Wisdom is also procured through positive mentorship, positive influence. Now, I've had mentors in my life that have been younger than me, okay? So don't misunderstand me. There's nothing that says that they can't. But you will grow in faith when you surround yourself with people that can lead you with insight and wisdom. Now, I go to a lot of jam sessions, you know. I do most jam sessions. I go to a lot of jam sessions. But I read something a while back. And I don't know if y'all ever saw any of these. It's called Clover Band, these Clover Band posts. In the Clover Band post, it says, if you're going to jam on a regular basis and you're always the best musician in that jam, you're probably going to the wrong jam. Now, the reason being for that is because if you're the best musician in the jam session, you're not going to be challenged to go any higher than you ever are. If you're not surrounding yourself with people that are stronger in the faith than you are, you're probably never going to grow in your faith. If you're the strongest person in your circle of friends, in faith, you're probably never going to grow beyond that. I got to pick that gummy up. It's bothering me. It's bothering me. Don't eat it. Can we tell? She can't be eating that. She's pregnant again. She got to take care of herself. He's got to start mopping the floors and everything. Vacuum cleaner. But insight. Faith comes through insight. Surrounding yourself with people that can impart into your life. God desires us to bless us with wisdom. That's His desire. In fact, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, He admonishes us to ask God for wisdom. We can ask God for wisdom. We surround ourselves with people of wisdom, people that are going to pull us up. Why do we need insight? We need insight because in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11, we find that Solomon gave the wisdom where there is no vision. Vision actually means revelation. Where there is no revelation, people perish. If you are not receiving something new from God, if you're not opening the Word of God and something jumping off the pages that you have never seen, even though you've read it through every year for the last 16 years, if somehow you're not hearing something in a message that is not jumping out at you, if somehow there's not somebody in your life that's not speaking words into or over your life, then you need to think about what you're doing. You need to ask God for insight. Ask Him for revelation. Because where there is no revelation, people perish. Now, we look at that, and we've often thought about that as our community, or we use it for a missions verse for the world. But listen, where there is no revelation, people perish. If you have no revelation, if I have no revelation, guess what? We will perish. We will perish. We need some fresh insight every single day, every week with God. I remember those days, and I there was good and there was negative in that, in all of this that I'm about to say. But I remember when I first got saved in the Pentecostal movement, it was the AG, but it was still Pentecostal. And I remember how that they would say, oh, you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't spoken in tongues in a week, then you need to get rebaptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, and all that. But we do need fresh insight. We do need fresh movement in the Word of God. We do need to be receiving wisdom on a daily basis if we're going to be overcomers. The next one is trust. Psalms 37 and 40 in the reading of the New King James. The psalmist said, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. Why? Because they trust Him. The Lord's going to deliver and help those who trust Him. Now, all of us in this room, probably if I come around and I ask you, I'd say, do you trust the Lord? AK, he's got physical issues. AK, do you trust the Lord?
The Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Y'all got some things going on in your life, I know. I won't discuss. Y'all trust the Lord? Mel, you got something. You trust the Lord? Kevin, you trust the Lord? Marcus, you trust the Lord? Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Madison and Heath, they expanding the family. They trust in the Lord. I trust the Lord. If we really trust the Lord, why do we have plan B? Have you ever thought about that? If we really trust the Lord, why do we have plan B? Well, I'm praying about this, but if the Lord don't work it out, I got something else I can do. See, I wore my long shoes today because my toes are further back. I fooled myself. I don't have a regular mind. Yeah, I trust the Lord, but I got plan B. I also have plan C, D, E, F, and G if necessary. We got it all figured out. Trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence for things we can't see. Now, I think it's just part of our human instinct to have plan B, C, and D, and E, F, and G, and however far you want to go and down the alphabetic realm. But the reality of it is, if we really trust the Lord, That's the thing I admire. I admire about, and again, I'm touching on missionaries today, but that's the thing I admire about missions people and other people that sometimes, I think you have to know it's, I think you have to be confident in whatever you're doing for God, but if we really trust the Lord, why do we have plan B? Why do we have plan B? You see, we do so because faith is a blind trust, and we struggle again with this non-tangible requirement that faith has. We want to be able to touch it, taste it, hear it, see it, and anything else that can make it tangible. That's what we want. That's what we expect. That's what we desire. So, if we're going to have an overcoming life, if we're truly going to be overcomers, there's going to be those instances in our life, and there's a bunch of them, I'm sure. There's going to be those instances in our life where we can't touch it. We can't taste it. We can't see it. We can't hear it. None of those things. And in those circumstances of our life, we've got to be able to look at God and say, God, I need you to do this. God, I'm depending on you. I trust you to do this. I have faith in you. Let me tell you something that taught me about trust. Trust. And I know I've got a few right in the back of the room that's going to say amen. My job, the job that I had worked on for 21 years played out. I graduated high school on June 7th and I started my job on June 9th. Okay? And the only reason I did then is June 9th was on Monday and I graduated on the weekend. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, I was blessed. God blessed me in that job, and I worked my way up, and I elevated myself within the company to a position that I was quite proud of. They decided to shut the company down, I was working in a job that technically I wasn't qualified for, but I think I did a pretty good job at it. They must have too. They kept me that long. Okay? But when I left the company decided they were going to close the facilities. I decided I was going to take my hobby of painting bodywork, which was just a hobby, and I was going to make a living at it. So I opened my own business. Okay? And as I opened my own business, let me tell you something. If you want to learn how to have faith, open your own business. Say that louder. Open your own business for a little while. When you don't know where the money's going to come from to pay that bill that's laying in there on the desk. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any means of doing any more than you're already doing. And you have, let me tell you something. Any of y'all want to know why you hit that deer? It was probably because I was praying for you to happen. And y'all want to know why you snowed and you wrecked and tore your fender up on your car? It was because I was praying for it to happen, okay? But listen, there's circumstances of our life that will cause us to cast all of our trust on the Lord. The last one is hope. Hope. Listen, remember the original text that we read from in Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay? Faith is all about hope. It's the substance. Faith is the substance of hope. Listen. I learned to use this verse of scripture and very much so during COVID. And I've used this scripture so much since COVID. Paul wrote it to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19. If you have your Bibles, turn over there. I want you to highlight it or underline it if you haven't already. In 1 Corinthians, now Paul is writing to the church at Corinth is a messed up church. They're still a church, but they're messed up, okay? They have lost the concept or the hope of the redemption. The church at Corinth, they're not sure if there's going to be a rapture or not. They're not sure that there ever was a resurrection or not. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he gives them instruction concerning, in particular here in this portion, in particular he's giving them instruction concerning the resurrection. and that is the resurrection of Christ. In verse 19, Paul concludes his statement with this statement. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If your hope and my hope is only in the substance of this world and the things we can touch, the things we can smell, the things we hear, the things we can hear, that we can see. If our hope is only based on the tangible evidence that these fleshly bodies will let us connect with, then we are our most miserable people. But there is a hope that is far greater than anything that this world has to offer. There is a hope that goes beyond the federal government, okay? There is a hope that goes beyond our kids. There is a hope that goes beyond our parents. There is a hope that goes beyond anything that we can possibly name. And that hope is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. And that hope is only established in Jesus Christ through faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And by faith, we find ourselves pleasing to God. By faith, we find ourselves being overcomers. By faith, we are found to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Listen, be encouraged, because we overcome by faith. And it is only by faith. It is only by faith that we'll ever be overcomers. Because you'll never be saved without faith. Because you haven't seen Jesus either. You haven't had a tangible one-on-one, shake his hand, experience with Jesus. Every experience we've had with Jesus has been through the Spirit. Okay? It's been through the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to echo what is found in the pages of this book. Okay? This is where I hear His voice. This is where I find His mind. What's on His mind? What's in His mind? Through the working of the Holy Spirit, He begins to put that off in operation into my spirit. He begins to speak things in my spirit. Listen, faith is the only way that we're going to be overcomers. There's no plan B. This is plan A, and this is it. Pardon me, for I don't have the words to express this any differently. This is plan A. This is what you got. You got to make it work. Okay? By faith. By faith. By faith, Moses parted the Red Sea. By faith. By faith, the lame walked. By faith, the blind could see. It's only by faith that we'll ever be overcomers. And every single one of you, I've already established that with you this morning, every single one of you has faith. If you say you don't have faith, you've declared the Word of God to be untrue. I don't think you want to do that. But we must cease to reason out faith. We have to quit trying to reason out faith. We've got to quit trying to figure out faith. Because we want to do that in a tangible sense. But faith, I love to think of faith as a muscle. I told my wife a while back, I said, man, I'm getting older. I may be a short guy, but I've always had some pretty good sized arms on me. And, it's some hard work. I grew up square belling hay when I was a boy. But I told Sarah here a while back, I was
I was combing my hair or something. And I said, I'm getting them little bird flaps under my arm there. Look at that. I was getting old. Look what's happening to me, you know. It happens. That's why all of us old people wear long sleeve shirts now. But you know, the reality of it is this. Faith is, I look at faith as being like a muscle. You know what? These old arms of mine have become flabby. If I started exercising again, you know what? They would firm back up. I'm sure it would. But I'd rather eat ice cream than I would lift weights. But you know what? Faith is a muscle. The more you work that muscle, he still lifts weights. He's the weight lifter. The more you lift that weight, the more you work those muscles, the stronger you become. Am I right? The more you use faith, the stronger you're going to become in your faith. The more you believe the things that are not, and you speak them as they are, the stronger you're going to become. So we must cease to reason, faith, and we must begin to exercise. I got one more verse of scripture for you in closing. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 4 and 5. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. This is reading from the Amplified, okay? For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. Our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who is the one who is victorious and overcomes the world. It is the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And because Jesus is the Son of God, and I recognize that, and I put my faith in Him, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than an overcomer, and I am victorious. I may lose a battle every now and then, but I've already won the war because I have faith in Jesus Christ. Would you all stand to your feet right now?